In the gospel reading today, our Lord says to his apostles how hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. And when they were amazed at what he said, he doubled down and he said how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. Easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Now, I don't suppose that most of us here today would consider ourselves to be too terribly rich. Probably don't live in a mansion someplace, and you probably don't drive a Rolls Royce. But I can guarantee you that if you went to some of the third world countries, you would walk away thinking that you're living in opulence by comparison. And so it's always a relative point in this way. But it's important also to look at that second statement that Jesus made. He took the part about the rich out, and he just simply said how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. And then told us it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. People have come up with all kinds of creative ideas as to what that might mean. How about if we just take our Lord at his word? He's telling us that it is easier for a huge camel to get through the eye of a needle than it is for somebody who is wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. And that's why the apostle said, then who can be saved? And our Lord said, for human beings it is impossible, but all things are possible for God. So we recognize we cannot save ourselves. We obviously know that, but we have to be careful about the other side of that. And it's the one that our society is falling into, and that is one of presumption. Everybody goes to heaven. God just loves you for who you are and what you're doing, so it doesn't matter. You can just do anything. You're going to go to heaven anyway. Nowhere does it even hint at such a thing in Scripture. The church has certainly never taught any of that. But you know what? It's a whole lot easier to believe that than to say I need to make some changes in my life. I need to get my act together and I need to live my life so that I can go to heaven. So just think for a minute. If you were to die today, are you going to heaven? Again, we could go with some of the evangelicals and say, hey, I believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I'm going straight to heaven. It doesn't say that anywhere in Scripture either, sorry. Those are the Bible Christians who say that, and it's not in the Bible. But once again, it's a whole lot easier than the truth. So answer it honestly in your own heart. If you were to die tonight, are you going to heaven? Now, I don't mean you're going to be in heaven tonight, so let's put it a different way. Are you at least going to make it to purgatory if you die tonight? Is your judgment going to be a merciful judgment? In other words, is there something that stands in the way between you and the Lord? Anything. Obviously, if there's something that is a mortal sin, get rid of it. It is not worth losing heaven over some idiotic sin that we keep giving into. But beyond that, is there something in our own life that is more important to us than God? We hear in the first reading about the fact that the wise man prayed for wisdom and for prudence, and it was given to him. Now that's a spiritual prudence. It is the gift of wisdom. Because we have to remember when our Lord spoke to us in a parable, he said, the people who are worldly are more prudent with their own than the otherworldly. So there's a prudence, if you want to call it that, that's very selfish, that's very self-centered, that's self-serving. And it's not really prudence at all, but it's on the natural level, we could call it that. Because I'm doing this and I hedge my bets and I figure out what's going to be the best way for me to get ahead and how is it going to affect me and all these things. And so we all know people who are very worldly prudent. That's not what the wise man was talking about. He's looking for God's wisdom. And God's wisdom can only be received through prayer. It's not a worldly wisdom. Worldly wisdom comes from experience. So you know people who are streetwise because they've been out there. If you know somebody who likes to, for instance, play the stock market, they're wise in the ways of how that works because they've experienced enough things. They've seen this and that, and they know what that means, and the wisdom is there because of their experience. God's wisdom also comes from experience, but it comes from an experience of God. And so it's not something that we gain by just being out there doing things, but it's exactly what we heard in the first reading. The wise man prayed and received that gift of wisdom. And that's what we want to be able to do too, because if you listen again to what he said, he preferred wisdom to everything else. Nothing else mattered. Because he found the truth. He found what would set him free. He said, next to her, gold is like a heap of sand. Silver is considered mire by comparison to wisdom. Our world says it's all about money and it's all about materialism, and yet that's not what we read in Scripture. That's not what the wise man had to say. So I suppose on one hand we can ask ourselves, do I really want that kind of wisdom? Because after all, I like all my materialism and my money and all my stuff. And if I have that kind of wisdom, maybe I won't like that stuff so much anymore. You're right. It stuff won't make any difference to you anymore. All that stuff that you put so much time and effort into and spent so much money on, you're just going to shrug your shoulders and go, who cares? When I die, I'm going to leave it behind anyway. What difference does it make? And so some of us don't necessarily want that kind of wisdom because we're stuck with our attachments and we're stuck with our sins. Not stuck with them in the sense that we can't get out of them, but stuck in the sense that we want them to be there. But that's where St. Paul reminds us in the second reading that every one of us is going to have to stand before God. And he said, all things are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must render an account. There will be no explanation on that day. We're not going to be able to say, well, here, I can explain why, or I can tell you. That's not what happens. Back about 30 years ago, there was a priest who was in a head-on collision with a truck. He lost. When he died, he stood before our Lord, and he said, I always thought I would have an opportunity to explain myself. He said, instead, what happened is he said, here's what you did, and here's why you did it. And here's what you did, and here's why you did it. And here's what you did, and here's why you did it. He said, all I could do was stand there and say, yes, 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 yes. Yes. The Lord knows our motive. The Lord knows why we do everything. We're not going to fool him. We can't hide anything from him. He also knows that we're very weak, and he knows that we're very broken, and he takes all of that into account. So the question isn't so much whether in my weaknesses I'm really struggling. The question is, am I trying to fight against them? Am I working in that direction? I always tell people, if you die trying, you're going to be okay. If you're not trying, you're going to be in big trouble. But if you're making the effort, and yeah, we're not perfect, the Lord knows that. But how many of us are like this man in the gospel? That if we really were to stop and think about it and say, well, Jesus said, sell all the stuff and give it to the poor, and he went away sad. This was a good man. He's followed the commandments ever since he was a child. So this isn't some horrible character. This is somebody who is a good man who wants to go to heaven. What must I do to inherit eternal life? He said, follow the commandments. But if you want to be perfect, Jesus said, and the man went away sad because he was too attached to all of his stuff. So again, is our stuff standing in the way between us and God? The stuff by itself is not evil. And I suppose there are some things, if you've got a Ouija board at home or something, yeah, get rid of that blasted thing. It doesn't belong in your house. Or anything else that's evil, get rid of it. But most of the things are just neutral. They're not evil in and of themselves. But if we are attached to the thing, then there's a problem within our own self. This thing is so important to me. Is it more important to you than God? That's the real question. Now, of course, we will all say, oh, no, there's nothing in my life more important than God. Yeah, be honest with yourself. And ask yourself, if the Lord asked you to give something up, what are you going to say? Whatever that is, your widget collection that's hanging on the wall, the fancy car that you spent so much time and effort trying to restore and get it in perfect shape so you can show off when you drive down the street. What is it in your life? Fill in the blank, doesn't matter. This thing is so important that if God asked me to give it up, I don't know if I could. Or maybe I'd even say no. Then really, which is most important, the thing or God? If there's something that's standing in the way, pray for detachment. Pray for wisdom so that we can actually know the best way to do things, so that we can make the right choices, the ones that are going to lead us to heaven. The ones that are going to help us to see the things that are most important. There are so many people throughout history that people have held up, even, you know, you see it in cartoons, they've got the guy sitting up on the top of the mountain, the wise man. He's sitting on the top, he owns nothing. He's just sitting up there by himself. He's not rich in the worldly way, and yet at the same time, the people come asking for guidance. Think of Saint Francis Paola. He was a hermit. He was relatively uneducated. And the kings would send for him to ask for his advice. He owned nothing. And yet his wisdom was such that the ones who were filthy rich were looking for his advice. So again, you look at something like that and say, okay, they're looking for something. They've got everything, and yet they find out that they don't really have much of anything. And they're looking for something more. And isn't it amazing, the one that they're looking to doesn't have anything that the world has to offer, because they have everything, because God is all. And if you have God, you have all, because everything exists within Him. But if we're hanging on to something, then we don't have anything else. We've just got whatever we're attached to. So it's just something to really think about. Because when we get to the day when we stand before the Lord, we're going to have to answer for everything. Jesus said every word that comes out of our mouth we're going to be answerable for. Every action, all the things. That's why we want to have the wisdom of God, so that we can make sure that we really are on the right track, that we are truly looking to live our lives for heaven. That's what we want to be about, serving God with our whole heart and soul and strength. So that's what we can pray for and really look seriously at these areas within our lives, because our Lord lets us know it's not easy to get into heaven. It is certainly not a guarantee to get into heaven. And so we need to take this very seriously. Remember when Mother Teresa of Calcutta died, I saw a cartoon that someone made, and Mother Teresa was all the way up at the front of this huge line, you know, and she's standing in front of the Lord. And He looks at her and said, "Don't you think you could have done a little more?" And you just see the panic on the faces of everyone else in line. And so it's something then, again, for all of us to think about. It's like, what is it going to be like on that day when I stand before the Lord? What's He going to say to me? Is He going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Is He going to say, "I tell you, I do not know you"? Is He going to say, "I know your heart. I know that you tried your best. I know you were trying to love me. I know that you were trying to serve me. I know that that's what your life was about"? What's He going to say? That's why I started by asking you that question. If you were to die tonight, are you headed the right direction? We'd all like to say yes, but that's where we just have to be really, really honest with ourselves. Are we? I hope so. But do we know that? And is there anything that needs to change? If we were to stand before the Lord tonight, is there something He would say, "You really should have gotten rid of this"? Or, "This was in the way"? Or, "This is what stopped you"? Or, "It's for this reason that you can't come in"? Then let's get rid of it. Pray for the grace and pray for true wisdom, the wisdom of God, so that all the other things are as nothing, because we have found the one thing that is most important, Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom of God.